Picture this. You are a pediatrician seeing your 20th patient of the day. Sunil, an 8-year-old boy, and his dad are at your office for his annual physical. Towards the end of the appointment, his dad, who is a 5th-grade teacher, brings up some concerns about his inability to focus during class. He has been talking out of turn, not finishing his schoolwork, and zoning out during lessons. His dad tells you, "It seems like every student in my classes is being diagnosed and put on medication. I don't want to be swept up in that trend, but I really do think that Sunil may have ADHD. Yet, I'm worried about what modafinil and drugs like it do to kids in the short term and the long term." As you listen and learn about stimulants and cognitive-enhancing drugs, think about how you would discuss medication with Sunil's dad and whether the benefits outweigh the risks. Welcome to Audio Bricks. I'm Laurel Toft, bringing psychiatry from our bricks to your ears. After completing this brick, you will be able to 1. Name conditions for which stimulants and cognitive-enhancing drugs can be used as treatment. 2. Explain the mechanism of action of stimulants and cognitive-enhancing drugs. 3. List the main examples of stimulants and cognitive-enhancing drugs. And 4. Describe the significant adverse effects of these drugs. Part 1. What are stimulants and cognitive-enhancing drugs, and how are these two types of medications used? Stimulant medications increase alertness and attention, but they also have effects outside the brain, including elevating the heart rate, blood pressure, and respiratory rate. Stimulants are used to treat many conditions, including attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, ADHD, chronic lethargy, narcolepsy, and obesity. Some common stimulants include caffeine, how many cups of coffee have you had today, amphetamines, such as dextroamphetamine, methylphenidate, and modafinil. Cognitive-enhancing drugs serve a similar purpose, which is increasing memory, alertness, and attention. These drugs are used to treat disorders of cognition, or thinking, including Alzheimer's disease and Lewy body dementia, among others. Quick knowledge check time. Question: what are the primary effects of stimulants and cognitive-enhancing drugs? The answer is, both stimulants and cognitive-enhancing drugs increase alertness and attention. Cognitive-enhancing drugs also improve memory. Part 2. How do these drugs work? Although the mechanism of action for these classes of drugs is not fully understood, we do know that they impact the levels of various neurotransmitters in the brain. Generally, stimulants affect monoamine neurotransmitters such as dopamine, norepinephrine, epinephrine, and serotonin. Cognitive-enhancing drugs, on the other hand, can be classified as either acetylcholinesterase inhibitors or NMDA receptor antagonists. But let's slow down now and start with an overview of stimulants, and in particular, amphetamines. These drugs exert their effects by causing release of monoamines from the nerve terminal storage vesicles. Two primary targets are the dopamine transporter, DAT, and the vesicular monoamine transporter, VMAT2. Amphetamines are taken up by the vesicles, causing exchange diffusion of monoamines. This results in the release of dopamine, norepinephrine, and serotonin into the synaptic cleft. Amphetamines also inhibit dopamine breakdown by inhibiting the enzyme monoamine oxidase, or MAO, resulting in more dopamine being available for synaptic transmission. Next, let's discuss the much-loved and widely used stimulant, caffeine. Caffeine is actually considered a drug because it stimulates the central nervous system. It has a unique mechanism of action compared to other stimulants. It inhibits phosphodiesterase, which results in increased levels of cyclic adenosine monophosphate, or cyclic AMP. Increased levels of cyclic AMP promote the breakdown of fatty tissue to release fatty acids and glycerol, which are used by skeletal muscle for energy. Caffeine also acts as a competitive antagonist of adenosine receptors. The result is an indirect release of norepinephrine, dopamine, acetylcholine, serotonin, glutamate, and gamma-aminobutyric acid, or GABA. So that's all happening in one strong cup of coffee. Now let's turn our attention to cognitive-enhancing drugs and their mechanisms of action. Acetylcholinesterase, or ACHE, is an enzyme that degrades acetylcholine after it is released by the presynaptic nerve terminal into the synaptic cleft. Drugs that inhibit this enzyme, like the cognitive-enhancing drug donepezil, allow acetylcholine to remain at the synapse for a longer time. This leads to increased stimulation of nicotinic acid and muscarinic receptors on the postsynaptic membrane. The net effect is an increase in cholinergic neurotransmission. Finally, let's discuss NMDA receptor antagonist. The N-methyl D-aspartate, or NMDA receptor, is both a ligand-gated and voltage-gated receptor that binds glutamate. This receptor has been implicated in Alzheimer's disease, which involves increased glutamate production. In the disease state, excess glutamate binds to the NMDA receptor and accelerates damage to neurons. So, NMDA receptor antagonists, such as memantine, block the binding site of the receptor, preventing glutamate from binding and therefore preventing glutamate-induced excitotoxicity. Time for a knowledge check-in. Question: which enzyme is responsible for degrading acetylcholine at the synaptic cleft? The answer is, acetylcholinesterase is responsible for degrading acetylcholine at the synaptic cleft. Drugs that inhibit this enzyme cause increased levels of neuronal acetylcholine. Part 3. What are the most commonly used stimulants and cognitive-enhancing agents? When you hear amphetamines, you may automatically picture a down-on-his-luck chemistry teacher making drugs illegally in an unmarked van in the middle of the desert. But these aren't just drugs of abuse. They actually can be used therapeutically to treat many conditions. Amphetamines like dextroamphetamine, as well as the stimulant methylphenidate, are used to treat ADHD and the daytime sleepiness associated with narcolepsy. Modafinil, a non-amphetamine stimulant, is also used to treat narcolepsy, as well as sleep apnea and shift work sleep disorder. It's also used off-label to treat ADHD. Commonly used cognitive-enhancing drugs include donepezil, galantamine, rivastigmine, and memantine. This group of medications can be used for symptomatic treatment of mild to moderate Alzheimer's disease and other neurocognitive disorders. Part 4. What are the adverse effects of stimulants and cognitive-enhancing drugs? As with all medications, these drugs produce adverse effects which must be considered in determining drug choice. Let's start with stimulants. The adverse effects of amphetamines and methylphenidate are similar. They include angioedema, which is swelling in the deep layers of the skin, and other hypersensitivity reactions, agitation, insomnia, and loss of appetite. These drugs can also cause dependence, rapid or irregular heart rates, elevated blood pressure, peripheral vascular disease, delirium, panic, and psychosis. Basically, the whole body gets overstimulated or agitated. You probably recognize these effects from depictions of people high on meth. This overstimulation of the vascular and endocrine systems makes amphetamines dangerous for patients with hyperthyroidism, advanced arteriosclerosis, symptomatic heart disease, and moderate to severe hypertension. Amphetamines and methylphenidate both can cause Raynaud phenomena, in which the skin of the fingers and/or toes changes colors, from white to purple to red, due to abnormal vasospasms when exposed to cold temperatures. Think of this as exaggerated spasming of the small blood vessels in the extremities. And finally, methylphenidate, but not amphetamines, causes growth suppression with long-term use. Modafinil's side effect profile is very similar to the amphetamines. The list includes angioedema, anaphylaxis, and other hypersensitivity reactions, persistent sleepiness, and cardiovascular events. It can lead to psychiatric symptoms such as nervousness, anxiety, insomnia, and agitation. There can also be more serious and potentially life-threatening adverse effects of stimulant drugs. Stimulants can cause intracerebral hemorrhage, and methamphetamines in particular can cause sudden cardiac death. I tell patients it can cause their heart to explode. A rare but serious condition caused by both amphetamines and modafinil is Stevens-Johnson syndrome, or SJS. Extensive blistering and peeling of the skin and mucous membranes of the mouth, nose, and eyes can cause rapid fluid loss by destroying the skin. Although this adverse effect is not common, it's a dangerous condition that can progress rapidly, and constitutes one of the only dermatologic emergencies. The more severe form of SJS is called toxic epidermal necrolysis, or TEN. The difference between SJS and TEN is the amount of surface area covered by the blisters. With SJS, blisters cover less than 10% of the body surface area, whereas TEN involves more than 30% of the body surface area. Drug toxicity can occur with the overuse of these stimulant medications. Stimulant toxicity can present as seizures, hyperthermia, lethal arrhythmias, or toxic delirium. Now on to the adverse effects of cognitive enhancing drugs. Just in case cognitive enhancing sounds enticing to you at this point in your medical education, be aware of the long list of adverse effects on virtually every organ system. Donepezil and galantamine can cause nausea and vomiting, peptic ulcer disease, gastrointestinal bleeding, weight loss, frequent urination, rhinitis, bradycardia, and potentially life-threatening seizures. Rivastigmine can have many of the same adverse effects with the added bonuses of increased sweating, drowsiness ironically, insomnia, headache, and tremors. The adverse effects of memantine seem wimpy by comparison, including allergic reactions such as rash, itching, or swelling. And that's it for our foray into stimulants and cognitive enhancing drugs. Let's check your knowledge and see what you've learned today. First, can you name two conditions treated by stimulants and two conditions treated by cognitive enhancing drugs? Stimulants can be used to treat ADHD and narcolepsy. Cognitive enhancing drugs are used to treat Alzheimer's or any other form of dementia. Next, can you list three stimulant drugs and three cognitive enhancing drugs? Stimulants include caffeine, amphetamines, modafinil, and methylphenidate. Cognitive enhancing drugs include donepezil, galantamine, rivastigmine, and memantine. Now, what is the mechanism of action of caffeine, and how does it differ from other stimulants like amphetamines? Caffeine inhibits phosphodiesterase and leads to elevated levels of cyclic AMP. It also inhibits adenosine receptors. Other stimulants like amphetamines increase the release and/or availability of monoamine neurotransmitters in the synaptic cleft. And what are the two mechanisms of action for cognitive enhancing drugs? Cognitive enhancing drugs can be classified as acetylcholinesterase inhibitors or NMDA receptor antagonists. Finally, what are the serious or potentially life-threatening adverse effects of stimulants and cognitive enhancing drugs? Amphetamines in particular can cause cardiovascular collapse and sudden cardiac death. Stimulants in general can cause SJS or TEN. And cognitive enhancing drugs can lead to life-threatening seizures. And we're done. Armed with your newfound knowledge on stimulants and cognitive enhancing drugs, let's think back to your pediatric patient, Sunil. At the end of his annual 8-year-old checkup, his father mentions his difficulty focusing in class, concerned about a diagnosis of ADHD and potential treatment options. Do you feel Sunil could benefit from the current available treatment options? And does it outweigh any risks? After further questioning of both Sunil and his dad, you agree that ADHD is a likely diagnosis. While Sunil is focused on playing a game on his dad's phone, you discuss treatment options. Methylphenidate is a stimulant commonly used to treat ADHD, but with a long list of potential side effects. In the short term, patients can experience agitation, insomnia, loss of appetite, and rapid heart rate. The long-term consideration is growth suppression. Although he is worried about this growth suppression, Sunil's dad decides it is worth starting him on a trial of methylphenidate. You will closely monitor his symptoms, growth, and how his learning behaviors and cognition are affected. Even though you are now running 20 minutes behind schedule, it's worth it when Sunil's dad thanks you for not just rushing to prescribe a medication, but taking the time to include him in the risk-benefit discussion so he is empowered to make the best and informed decision for his son. And that's our show. If you like this episode, send us a comment or give us a thumbs up. Until next time.